02.
Window into Iran and its social networking. Who knew that Twitter would become so popular? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Also, what's happening closer to home a lot. We'll get to that. Big battle on the home front in the capital, certainly, as things are afoot for healthcare. A lot of conversation about where to go. Will it be partially public, partially private? Could that even work? Right now, as far as healthcare is concerned, I'm sure many of you know this by now. I've tossed this fact out, and tons of other mags and tons of other programs, I'm sure, have released the same statistics. But we are 37 in the world for healthcare. We are the United States of America, and we are 37. That is not good. And I know there are people listening that have banged their head in frustration over things that have happened to them with whether it's some horrible disease, and then the insurance doesn't quite pay everything, there wasn't something you realized, or you have a pre-existing condition, but your whole life you were healthy, and then you lost a job, and then you had to get another job. There's a million different stories out there, and a lot of them are very, very sad. In fact, when we talk about credit cards and how deep people get into credit card debt, so often what you'll later learn, it's not some frivolous, I'm going to Saks and Neiman's and I'm going to charge up the cards. A lot of times it has to do with caring for somebody who's dying, somebody who has some kind of a disease, or somebody who needs an operation, etc. And then all of a sudden, that's what happens. The credit goes chunking up, and you can't ever get out of that hole. And then the medical bills just mount, and it's absolutely insane what happens to people. It's that one twist of fate where everything it's life. You're smooth, you're sailing along, you're working, you're feeling good spiritually, financially, etc. The family's on course. Man, this is good. Living is good. This is great. Oh, I'm thanking God every day. Everything's fabulous. Then you hit one of those lows. Something happens. Somebody has an accident. Something happens to somebody else in your family. Somebody loses a job. You both lose a job, and disaster strikes. And honestly, that's life. The curveballs that we get, right? When life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. But in this case, when you're 37 on the list for health care and Morocco's in front of you, whoo, something's wrong with that equation. What is the answer? I don't know the answers that I'm hearing that I like so far, but I think we're not even close. Obama talks about his proposal. There's not even, I don't think it's even close to acceptance at this point, which is why there is the sell, sell, sell mentality and the conversation last week in front of all the docs at the AMA. Because there's going to be lots of opposition, I think. But perhaps there's some ground in the middle. There's some way to make this happen, that it's equitable, that everybody does have the shot at affordable health care. But I don't know that a mixing of public and private will really, really work. Perhaps, but it depends on, you'd have to see the numbers. You'd have to see how the numbers break down, and you'd have to see how ultimately that care would work. Does it mean if you rely on the public care, well, hey, you're just not going to get anywhere near the kind of care that somebody with the private care that can afford it will get. It's pretty much that way now, isn't it? All right, let's jump back to Iran, of course, and what's happening there and the fact that not much information is coming out other than, as I mentioned, through social networking sites like Twitter, Facebook, etc. But in Iran, they are tightening the squeeze on the web. They certainly have blocked the access to that, even though Mousavi and his backers are pushing for the text messaging and all that other sort of stuff, but there are fewer ways to leak it out. However, in the last couple of days, plenty of things have gotten out, including some sad, sad footage of people being shot in the streets. You can clearly see that. This is radio, but trust me, you can clearly see it. We're going to let you hear what it sounded like, including the plight of this woman, Nita, who was with her father. You can see her going to and going through a peaceful protest, and then suddenly she's dead at the end of it. And I think there's nothing but pure shock from her father as this starts to unfold. So Mousavi is pushing for more protests, but peaceful protests. And, of course, the government supreme leader is saying these are the accepted results. And obviously you have serious headbutting going on. And I think there's a lot we don't know that's happening in Iran. But here's some of the sounds of the last couple of days on the street. So what you heard there was that one thing that I was telling you about with Nita is what it's being described. And on the video, and you could hear that, the young woman, you see the blood pouring from her mouth, from her nose, etc. You can hear the people shouting, and it's in Farsi trying to frantically try to help her. Very, very sad, rough stuff to watch, and this is what's happening. The blood was spilling on the ground, and it was tough to watch, and you realize just what people are willing to risk by protesting, but certainly not thinking in a peaceful sense that that was going to happen, that there was going to be gunfire and that protesters were going to be shot at from a militia compound. But that's exactly what happened, and this is all because of the alleged I mean, I'm taking the word alleged out. It's because of the vote rigging, let's face it, in the June 12th elections, and people are pushing for Mousavi, whose supporters believe he was the rightful winner over Ahmadinejad. But the government, or the supreme leader, is really the true way, the religious leader, Khamenei, is refusing to accept that and just saying that these are the results, etc., and wanting the people to stop and recognize that the election results stand. So there are very few lines of contact now with that country other than these rogue things that are being released that pop up on a YouTube and a Facebook, etc. That's the only word that's coming out of the country. Now, what I do know is it's been peaceful as of a Sunday and, of course, Monday. But again, more calls for protests. Do you think that Ahmadinejad could actually topple in this one? I mean, who truly rules Iran? Is it Ahmadinejad? Is it the supreme leader? The power structure in this Islamic Republic, how does it go? We're going to talk about that next and some other things here in the good old U.S. around the bend.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. survivaloven.com. That's survivaloven.com.
Hi, I'm John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and let's take in a brief mind movie. We're surrounded by jesters, members of the nation's largest clown club based in Washington, D.C. Fuzzy hair, baggy pants, big yellow shoes, and now offering financial assurances that all will be well. The stimulus package is working. A bailout is coming your way. And while we're flat broke, we're also told that we've stepped back away from the brink. Pardon me? Back to the real world. We know that we can rely on no one but ourselves to generate financial security. Protecting your assets is solely up to you. No one else is coming to the rescue. Please call me, John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, to discuss investing in precious metals, gold and silver, with a 6,000-year track record of success and security. I'm John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and together we'll create a package that really works for you.
Love and Marriage. Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
Welcome to Love and Marriage Radio. I'm Mae Chambers, the mom.
And I'm Erica Chambers, the daughter.
On our show, we talk about real things that all of us do to either make or break our relationship.
So when a guy calls me high maintenance, he's not talking about my car.
Join the fun on Love and Marriage Radio.
They doing all right.
Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book Explains Our Monetary System. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how.
All right, you can throw in your 2 cents about Iran and... Is the U.S. doing enough to help those poor folks protesting the results or doing the right thing by laying back? 800-259-5791. Kate Delaney in the show's America Tonight. We like to say it is the show that has definite ADD. I keep saying we're going to go closer to home, so let's do that. Let's jump closer to home in the meantime. Do you know that thousands of people were stranded at a Michigan concert because of flooding? I thought at first somebody told me this, and I said, you're kidding. Well, what do you mean they're stranded? And then I saw the photographs of it. There was a radio station that put on this concert, apparently, or sponsored this concert, and you had all these people that were out for the concert. They were told to just grab their essentials from their cars and get out of them, and then, I guess, come back at a later date to get those cards. And it was at a county fairgrounds and in Michigan, and they evacuated the area, asked everyone to just get out, no joke. It was a B93, that was the name of the station, B93 Birthday Bash, and they're saying it might be Wednesday before you can even get those cars removed from the fairgrounds, and half of them are filled with mud, etc., because a flood literally washed over that whole area. So, 1 second you're at a concert, the next second you got this heavy rainfall, and before you know it, you have floods, and you are told to leave. So with the river rising, the Grand River rising, it cut off exits to the parking areas for thousands of people. So this fairground area, I guess, it's the sixth time that it's flooded since Christmas. So my question is, I don't know, if I heard that a fairground was flooded 4 times or so, I don't know that I would go back out to it. Matt, would you be a little bit afraid to go back out to that parking lot area?
Yeah, definitely a little bit. I mean, you're going, I don't know, how do you feel about losing your car? Like, myself,
I'd be furious. Are you kidding?
My car is kind of like a mini office. My friends all make fun of me because they think a homeless person lives in there with all the clothes and computer. Like, I got so much random stuff in there, and I'd be out. I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't have my car. I have so much stuff in there. Maybe I got to clean up my car now.
That's the same thing with me. Just in general, though, too, my car is only a year old. So the idea, of course, I don't want to drown in my car, so I'd have to abide by what they're saying. I mean, the flood stage was 21 feet. The river was rising. There was no question that it's too late. You were trapped. It was going to come in there. It was going to flood, and you had to leave. But I don't know. I guess I wouldn't want to park out at the fairgrounds because people always talk. It's water cooler buzz. So if you lived out there and they were having a concert there and it had been flooded in that area four times and then there was a call for rain, heavy rain, I wouldn't take the chance. I don't care who they had at the concert.
Yeah, or you just can't you take a bus or something? Figure
yeah.
it out that way?
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, because now you're
or get your buddy to drive.
You're responsible for your car, right? With the insurance pay for that. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I don't know, but you can't. Don't they cover flooding as part of your car insurance, or is it not?
I would think, but now all those claims, I don't know. Well, I guess they would. They would
because
cover it.
Well, what happens if you get like hail damage on a car and things like that?
Hail damage, it's covered.
Well, then
I've had hail damage twice on a car.
Well,
they cover it.
Wouldn't that be the same thing, though, because it's kind
right.
of like a natural element
sure,
causing harm
sure.
to your
car?
Sure,
sure. You can't control what happens if your car goes floating away. But I'd be upset. Of course, I would leave like everybody else. So I'm not going to die over my car. But then to go back and try to dig it out of the mud, oh. And all just to go to a radio station's birthday party, that's a little too over the top for me. Time for those claims, those insurance claims. Hey, speaking of claims, Tiger Woods could claim that the fans are annoying in New York. Now, Bethpage is the site of the U.S. Open, and of course the U.S. Open isn't complete because they've had to deal with so much rain. But they had a lot of people that were drinking a ton of beer, I guess, and started to, over the weekend, especially Saturday, started to kind of harass the golfers. You know, they were idiots. They were hecklers. They were like tailgating too long or something. And so Tiger Woods at one point, he's getting ready. He's getting ready to start his third round in the rain. And you have people yelling obnoxious things out on him. I guess they had out at him. I guess they had an umbrella above his head and stuff, and somebody yelled out, "We're on Long Island, where the men are men, put the umbrella down," and all kinds of other things. And, of course, Tiger Woods knows he didn't respond to any of it. You had people that were screaming, "Suck it up, you've got your own video game," and all this other sort of stuff, and worse things that I can't even see on these airwaves. So they were enjoying the beer that flowed, and the golfers just had to, had to deal with it. And some people think that, well, you know what, golf is kind of stuffy anyway. So you got these New York fans that are out there, and this is kind of the baseball crowd that's now descended upon this Bethpage for the U.S. Open. So you just got to put up with it. But normally, in the places that I've been with the PGA or LPGA or whatever, they would take you right out. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They would just remove you because what happens is they'll claim that you're disrupting the play too much and probably just escort you out if it got out of control. Of course, what would happen is every time the cop would get near the people who were taunting, they would back off, obviously. But, and rain... Man, rain really wreaked havoc with that event over the weekend. How many people listening to me are sports fans and even mildly at least care about our Opens? Because it is the United States Open, after all. And what happened was you've got now the U.S. Open having to continue on Monday in the morning since they had to stop play basically with so many holes left to be played. So Ricky Barnes has a 6-shot lead He's only the fourth player in U.S. Open history to get that low, and you, I'm sure many of you saying are thinking to yourself, well, look, who is Ricky Barnes, and you know who is this guy? Good for him. Tiger Woods is, to let you know, is 15 shots behind, and Phil Mickelson was struggling, too, with making some bogeys, some birdies, but it was pretty tough conditions with the way the water sogged up everything. So it'll be the first time a U.S. Open ended, well, they hoped. They were hoping it would end in regulation on, they hope. It ends in regulation on Monday. It'll be the first time that that happened since 1983 because they could barely get it all in. And if you get a hot round going, when all of a sudden the rain is wreaking havoc with your game, boy, pretty tough to deal with those conditions, especially for an open where they really line things up and they make the hole positions a lot tougher, the pin positions a lot tougher for people and whatnot. I'm sure you're listening to me saying, oh, that is just too much information on sports, but that's how it was out at Bethpage. And the reason I brought it up is really because of the heckling of Tiger Woods and some of the other golfers, and just that you normally don't see that happen. Hey, a big story that I wanted to bring up about a New York Times reporter that I think caught a lot of people off guard. Talk about being really under the wire. This story didn't get, when it happened, it just didn't get very much coverage. This New York Times reporter held hostage by the Taliban in Afghanistan, escaping. Can you imagine? Because the first thing you think is, well, was there ransom paid? Because remember, the whole deal is you do not pay ransom. Now, if the paper wanted to try to do it on their own, who would know, you know, who would know that that was happening? Of course, in talking about the Taliban, I would say it would be a pretty risky thing to happen. But there wasn't a lot of information even that was released about it. I'm wondering if some of that will start to trickle out. But I have more details on it. I'm going to tell you what I do know about this New York Times reporter and his tussle with the, more than his tussle, probably scared to death by being abducted by the Taliban. That's coming up around the bend, and some other odds and ends as well.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V Online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the
the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission's done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Playing the sea. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
I'll tell you what, Barack Obama, as President of the United States, of course, he won't say this, I'm sure, but I bet he wishes that the Reverend Jeremiah Wright had a brand new bag. Once again, every time, it seems every couple of months when he says something, he pulls himself a little bit deeper into very murky waters, and I'm being polite to say the least. Pretty interesting stuff from Wright. Here's a little exchange between Wright and a reporter. Check this out.
Did you vote for Barack Obama?
Of course I voted.
How do you feel about it?
I'm proud of him, right? I got five out of those kids. And they all make mistakes and bad choices. I don't stop loving none of them. He made bad mistakes. He made bad choices. I got kids who listen to their friends. He listened to those around him. He made a mistake. I did not disown him.
Right. Have you spoken with him since he's been in the White House?
You ain't gonna let him talk to me.
Right.
I told my baby girl, I said, he'll talk to me 5 years from now when he's lamed up, or 8 years when he's out of office.
Well,
he can't. Remember?
If you had anything to say to him, what would you say to him?
Same thing I've said to him all along. Don't let being in politics change who you are as a person. And you're letting these policies and the people around you change what you believe is the core and fiber of your being. Once you start compromising your beliefs, you become a puppet of a political machine. You no longer yourself. And don't let that happen to you. I would say that to him. I said that to him when he went to the Senate. I said, he's a politician, I'm a pastor. He got to do what politicians do. And the Jewish vote, the AIPAC vote, that's controlling him, that would not let him send a representation to the Darfur Review Conference, that's talking this craziness in Israel because they're Zionists, they will not let him talk to somebody who calls a spade what it is. Ethnic cleansing that's going on in Gaza, the ethnic cleansing of the Zionists, is a sin and a crime against humanity. And they don't want to run.
All right, so you heard there from Jeremiah Wright and what he had to say about Obama being a lame duck, and you know what basically the people around him won't let him talk to Obama. Obama can't talk to him because of the people around him, and of course the Jewish folks controlling what Obama does, and he's got to think, oh great, here we go again. Although Jeremiah Wright, the Jeremiah Wright factor wasn't as big as I thought it might have been in the election, because he was like a runaway train. He was a rock star at some point, and it didn't matter what anyone said about anything. So the Wright comments became uncomfortable for Obama, you remember, when he was running, but he was able to distance himself from that whole thing. And this is, you think about it, you think about your own church and how long you were a part of someone's life, pastor-wise or whatever, baptizing your kids. And he was definitely a part of Obama's life. He baptized his kids, married him, all that sort of stuff. And now I doubt there's very much of a relationship, as he said. He said he voted for him, but that he wouldn't be talking to him till he was a lame duck again. Well, this reporter is glad he's not a lame duck, I'm sure. David Rode from the New York Times, he was kidnapped by the Taliban. He escaped Friday night, actually found his way to a free spot after more than 7 months of captivity, 7 months of being held. He was in the mountains of Afghanistan and Pakistan. You can imagine maybe what he saw or learned or whatever. He was with a local reporter and a driver, and they were taken outside of Kabul back in November when he was actually doing some research for a book. And he was part of a team, so you know a little bit about his background. He's part of a team that won a Pulitzer for the coverage of Afghanistan and Pakistan last year. He told his wife that he was climbing over the wall of a compound where they were being held in an area of Pakistan. They made their way to a frontier core base. And on Saturday, they were flown to the American military base in Bagram in Afghanistan. They just walked over the wall of the compound, which is incredible if you think about it. Saw their opening, I guess, and took it. But the kidnapping has been kept so quiet by the Times and anyone else in the media. I had no idea of this. And certainly, I've talked to people higher up on the food chain, at least when it comes to newspapers, and being in the know, especially in New York or Washington, and nobody that I knew really had caught wind of any of this. So they kept it close to the vest from the early days. The experts, I guess, in kidnapping cases say that any knowledge publicly would increase the danger to this reporter and the other hostages. So the kidnappers initially said as much, you know, hey, you release this, and they're goners, basically. So what a terrific story. I would say, in fact, that's our daily salute, the fact that they had the presence of mind to get over the wall and escape that. And now he gets to be reunited with his family, or both of them actually do. No ransom. They wouldn't say very much. The editor of the New York Times wouldn't say very much, except for to say that he was free and no ransom money was paid and no Taliban or other prisoners were released, because, of course, that's the whole thing. But this kidnapping deal is huge in dangerous parts of the world now, certainly for reporters. And this was a guy who was with somebody who knew the area himself from having been there and had connections and stuff. And he was motivated to get both sides of the story for, a book that he's doing, as I said, and was willing to take the risk, but is lucky that the risk didn't turn out to be much worse for him, because he was able to get out of the situation and now make his way back. But I think that's incredible. I'd be curious to read his book, though, to find out what his dealings were with the Taliban and what that was like to be kidnapped, and what were some of the things that he heard, and how unnerving is that, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. All right, also closer to home, I mentioned this already, but I didn't give you the meat of this. You know, they do this whole tracking poll thing, which is very big to the people around a president or anybody that has to rely on votes and what the public thinks of them and all that sort of stuff. So the Rasmussen reports daily the tracking poll for the president. And Sunday it showed that 32% of the nation's voters now strongly approve of the way Obama is performing in his role as president. 34% disapprove of giving Obama an approval rating index of -2, if you want to call it that. So it's the lowest rating so far, and the first time that the president's approval index has fallen below zero. 60% of Democrats strongly approve of the president's performance, but only 8% of Republicans share the view. 61% of Republicans strongly disapprove. I say this all the time about polls. You know, you can manipulate them however you want to manipulate them, but a lot of times you talk to any pollsters and they say they're pretty dead on, actually. 70% of Americans say they will not be impacted, by the way, by the closure of GM and Chrysler. Really? Only 9% are very likely to feel the pain. Most, of course, in Michigan, that makes sense. They want the government to sell GM and Chrysler as soon as possible. Here's the big one. I talked about this earlier. Healthcare reform. And it's pretty evenly divided as to whether or not to deal with that or wait until the economy is better before ultimately that's dealt with. So what does this tell us? Well, you know, I looked at a chart of the approval ratings, and the approval ratings are still pretty high, I'd say, for Barack Obama. I mean, it sounds gobbledygook when you read the tracking, but it's still pretty high. He still is enjoying some pretty decent numbers. But I wonder if things continue to go the way they are, with be it healthcare, be it the economy, world affairs, etc., how long it takes for that to go in a different direction. And, of course, the people around the president want him to be elected because that's what it is. The people around you are doing your bidding for the next term, even though you're already just barely into the first term. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's what you're doing. You're trying to get a lock on the presidency for 8 years, just like the previous guy and the previous guy before him. And a lot of people believe that if you have the right guy in place, I'll say guy, it could be a woman if we elected a woman, but the right person in place, can they really get something done in one term? Or does it take two terms by the time you've put things in place, by the time you've tried to get that bipartisan cooperation, or maybe you don't care but say that, but by the time you try to get things pushed through, in other words, because that's only one branch of government, and 4 years is not a long time. Will this be yet the third president that gets elected again? So we've had three presidents in a row who have been two-termers. And I talked a lot about California. I got a lot of emails from people in California and others with thoughts of what California could do to try to improve their economic situation. But everybody's like California. Everybody's struggling with the same things. I mean, you know, the budget crisis now is at a point where, of course, what's next when you're worried about being bankrupt in 4 weeks? Well, the education system is now near the bottom in school funding. And academic achievement, of course, is affected by that. So deep cuts force the schools in a lot of California districts to lay off thousands of teachers, and that's what happens. Coming up on the flip side, more odds and ends across the nation. Hang with us.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Don't you hate it when your neighbor leaves up the Christmas lights and it's already July 4th almost, and you're still looking at the blinking lights? Does anyone have a neighbor like that? Well, in Boulder, Colorado, a woman is going to court claiming she was evicted from her apartment because she kept her Easter decorations on her door for 2 weeks after the holiday was long gone, right? Her name's Carol Burdick, and she says her landlord told her to remove the Easter stickers and grass and marshmallow candies from her door a few days after the holiday was unfolded this year. And now, of course, she's not asking for monetary damages, but she wants jurors to find that she's not liable for the more than $2,000 in rent and late fees she refused to pay. And this is going to happen because jury selection is set for this week. So this is a civil case, and what her attorney says, or what her attorney is saying, is that, she should be able to have what she wants on the door, and it wasn't that long of a time, etc., and that it should be protected because an Easter decoration is an expression, etc., and it's a religious statement, even if it's just bunnies and, you know, whatever. So she refused to take it down. The apartment manager posted a notice saying she was violating her lease, which says balconies, patios, and other areas have to be kept in a clean sanitary condition. She says that it was in a clean condition. He just had a fit over the whole idea of the Easter decorations hanging around for a little bit longer. I don't know, Matt, what do you think, fair or foul? Like I said, I said the example of somebody leaving Christmas lights up. I've actually seen that. Or decorations that linger for not... Now, in her case, it was 2 weeks and they booted her out. But I've seen it where decorations have been up for 3 or 4 months after a holiday.
I've known people that have left them up year-round.
Ugh. Outside of their house and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not cool.
But I don't know.
It doesn't look right.
But sometimes if the lights, you can't really tell that they're there, and so it's, like, not a big deal. But if you got the big, like, Santa sculpture-type thing, the big plastic deals and, like, a whole, you know, all the reindeer and the sleigh going on, and you leave that out, that's a little obnoxious.
Yeah, I think that's a little obnoxious. If somebody was doing that and they had a winter wonderland on their... Come on, listening to us in St. Louis, do you want the winter wonderland on your... You know, in your neighborhood, the guy to the right of you, the person to the left of you, I don't think so. No.
Yeah,
I don't think you want that. Even other things like Halloween, think of any celebration, yeah, you don't want that to linger for a long time. I mean, if it's a little bit, I don't think it's a big deal, but if it's longer, I don't think so.
Yeah, I know, I think one of my uncles, he's got lights that he has pretty much year-round, but he, like, changes them based on the season.
Oh, okay. Well, that works.
But it's kind of the same deal where their lights are always on, or not always on, but, you know, for a couple months at a time. You know, he's got the orange ones for Halloween, and I don't know, Valentine's Day, I think his wife puts out, like, some red and white ones or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, crazy. I don't know. It's what happens is, if it's, especially if it's obvious, just take the decorations down. I mean, I just, again, it's not that difficult. In her case, I don't think that was too excessive. A couple weeks afterwards, I mean, come on, give me a break. I'd be curious to see, and we'll keep up with this case, which way the jury goes on this. Because, you know, you heard my argument about somebody keeping up something too long, but what is too long? Maybe 2 weeks is too long for some people. And the apartment complex is going to say, well, we have strict regulations about what you're allowed to do, and it's signed in the lease, so it's going to be the interpretation from a legal standpoint of what the lease says. Well, this was a strange deal in Highland Park, Illinois. There was a couple that got married over the weekend. They both had swine flu. So they got married in surgical masks and latex gloves. Ileana Jackson and Jeremy Beierstein went ahead with the ceremony because they were already set up to get married. Both are 26. They were told to keep a strict distance from family and friends at all times, and they decided they were going to do it anyway, so they did. They kept, you know, 10 minutes or so. They both had achy limbs and fever and vomiting. They would joke about the swine flu. They didn't really think they had it, but then unfortunately they found out they did right before they were supposed to get married, but they decided, well, you know what, we're just going to go through with it anyway. I'd say that's news you can abuse. In a way, good for them for carrying through. In another way, it had to be very odd to be at that wedding. I hope they do another celebration where they don't have to have masks and gloves over their hands. Not so sure. How many people listening to me like to bowl? Well, there's these great-grandmothers from Michigan who keep winning. They're that good in the series that they compete in. They're competing at the U.S. Bowling Congress Women's Bowling Association, I guess near Bay City. 86 years old. One's 86 and one is 69. And the 86-year-old had a personal best of 554 series in the tournament. The younger teammate, I guess, makes her feel relaxed, encourages her, all that stuff. And they're great bowlers. So they won Michigan's Division II doubles title. Hey, good for the 86-year-old having the younger partner and to keep going and to try to keep healthy to do something, whether it's, you know, walking, bowling, whatever, to get out there. Look, obviously, I think the more you do, the more you socialize, the younger you feel. This is a completely different story from Calgary. Canadian authorities are reporting that a gorilla grabbed a knife at the Calgary Zoo. Tourists snapped pictures of Brica, the gorilla, holding the knife and pointing it at another gorilla in her cage. Ooh, that'd be spooky to see that. They say the gorillas have no concept of weapons or even how to use them. So in just a couple of minutes, the gorilla actually put the knife down. The knife was left behind by a keeper who had gone into the cage to prepare food for the animals and just forgot to take it out. That could have ended in a much different way, especially if they had no idea what was in their hands. Imagine what could have happened there. This is probably the weirdest story I've heard in a very long time. Picture this. You're in your house, right? And there's a bridge nearby that they're going to implode. You know how the whole imploding thing is exciting to a lot of people? So this is a sleepy little town in West Virginia. You have demolition crews. They're bringing down the Pomeroy Mason Bridge. It's across the Ohio River. I actually know this bridge. There was a woman, Kelly Stewart. She's standing in her spare room with her camcorder on. She wants to capture the whole thing because it's exciting stuff on the other side of the river. And all of a sudden, they do the blast, and a football-sized chunk of the bridge flies through the wall of her house right near her, like whizzes by her through, lands in a beanbag chair, and misses her by just a few feet. Because the way that was propelled, if it had hit her, boy, especially in the head, good chance that she'd have a tough time surviving that, depending on, of course, how she was hit. But that story could have ended up a lot differently. Would you believe that we are already talking 173 days, my friends, into 2009? I don't know why, but I always shake my head and say the same thing. I don't understand where all the time goes. We have some birthdays for you. Some of them I think are pretty familiar, like actress Meryl Streep. Who doesn't know who Meryl Streep is? I bet there's hardly anyone listening to me, whether you're 24 or whether you're 86, who doesn't know who Meryl Streep is. Meryl Streep celebrating a birthday, 60 years old. Yep, 60 years old. Also celebrating a birthday on the very same day as Ms. Streep, among people celebrating birthdays, actress Lindsay Wagner, also 60 years old. Cyndi Lauper, the pop singer, 56 years old. Rock musician Gary Beers from INXS, 52. Actress Tracy Pollan, who's married to Michael J. Fox, 49 years old. Author Dan Brown, 45, Angels and Demons. That's the movie that his book, it was the forerunner to. Of course, they adapted that to the screen, obviously. Actor Donald Faison is 35 years old. TV personality Carson Daly, 36. Denver Broncos cornerback Champ Bailey, 31 years old. Alan Osman, 60 years old on the other end of the scale. And finally, singer-actor Kris Kristofferson, 73. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday to you. Shoot me an email, americasnight.net.